Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Niall Hill, and I will be reading Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and in the holy angels." May God add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Thank you, Master Hill. Good morning again, church. Oof. I feel good. I don't know. When I was preparing this message, I had two introductions, and I was wondering, which one should I use? And then it so happens that I'm not going to use any of them, right? Because as I was preparing this message, there were so many thoughts coming into my mind. Because we heard the scripture that says that, you know, you have to deny yourself. And I keep asking, am I denying myself? What does it mean to deny myself? Right? And then there's this song. Old song. I don't know if it's that old, because I might offend some of you if I tell you when it was written. It was first recorded back in 1941. They don't have a clue who wrote the song. It's titled the author anonymous, right? And the title of the song is "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Anyone ever heard that song? Wow, awesome. Just a Closer Walk with Thee. The first words to that song goes, "I am weak, but you are strong." I am weak, but you are strong. And already I knew the answer, right? Why was this song written? What is the reason that the believer has to have a closer walk with thee? Simple. We're a bunch of weak people. We're a bunch of weak people. I'm not going to get into all of the different areas that we are weak. You know your weaknesses. It's not my purpose to put light onto it, but basically, you know where you're weak, right? I am weak, but you are strong. Jesus is the one who gives us strength. It's like that in any relationship, right? You got one person who have a certain area of weakness, and another person has a certain area of strength, and they come together and they sort of complement each other, right? But I keep thinking, okay, Jesus Christ is the one who's strong. He's strong in so many different areas. And where are we strong? Still can't figure it out. Because reality, we are all weak in all areas. So who's carrying this relationship? Gotta be Jesus. He's the one who's carrying the relationship. He's the one who says that I'm the starter and I'm the finisher, right? I made a covenant with you. Right? You remember when Jesus met with Abraham, slid open the cow, opened it out, and basically that was the covenant, a covenant of blood, right? And he said at that time that I will never leave. I'm always with you. I am 100% in this relationship, and I'm not going anywhere. But what happened? He had to come to the earth as a human being to die because we broke the covenant, right? So where are we really strong? Bottom line is, we're not. In Luke, it says that the Son of Man must suffer. Because Jesus Christ came and he says that, okay, the Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. He said, I'll be rejected by the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and must be killed on the third day rise. So in this one sentence, Jesus surmised his entire life. He says, okay, I've come, the Son of Man came, and he must suffer. But at the end, he says that he will arise. And basically what he's saying is that we got to do the same. If you want to be a disciple of mine, here's what you want to do. It's almost like he's giving informed consent. You all know what that is? It basically means that before you sign on the dotted line, you need to know exactly what is it that you're getting involved in. Right? You go to a therapist, right? And the therapist is going to give you an informed consent. Right? Everything that the therapist is going to be doing, or you go to the doctor, or the lawyer, or the mortgage company, right? And everything that they want to do, they say that they will do, it's right written there. So you know what you're getting involved in. So when you sign that dotted line, you know exactly what's going to be happening, right? So he says, before I get to this point where I'm raised in glory, I got to go through some stuff. Before I get to that point where I am raised up and resurrected and with the Father again, I got to go through some stuff. In verse 23 says, then he said to them all, whosoever wants to be my disciple. Now, he laid it out in the beginning because in other places it talks about counting the cost, right? It talks about which man going to build a house is not going to first count the cost to see if he has enough to finish it, right? That makes sense. Right? Sometimes you go and you want to build a house, you want to buy a car, you want to do whatever it is that you do, what do? You project income, right? You count the cost. You look to see if you have enough to finish this thing that's going to be starting. And what Christ is saying here is that if you want to be my disciple, count the cost. Because after we've counted the cost and we sign on the dotted line, it's a contract, right? Ain't no turning back. And then when Christ says, okay, now that you've counted the cost and this is what I want you to do, the cost is already counted. The only question at that point is, how high do you want me to jump? Right? Because we've already counted the cost. This is where we're going. Right? He says that whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up your cross. In some places it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Two separate things. Deny themselves. Because if it is that we are to be God's disciples, Christ's disciples, then we have to be at the point where we must be willing to deny the self. And what does that mean? What does it take to deny themselves? I love to go back to the song. Why? Because it says that just a closer walk with thee. In order to have that close walk with Jesus Christ, we have to be able to deny ourselves. Why? Because there's nothing in ourselves that's good, right? None is good. There's no, not one. We're not good people. I didn't say that, okay? God said that. No, not one. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but none of us are good. He says that you must take up your cross to follow me. And in order for us to have that closer walk with Christ, we have to deny the self. What are some of those things that we have to deny in order to have that closer walk? And what it's saying basically is that Christ gave up, right? You all agree with that? Christ gave something up. What did Christ give up? I mean, check this out. Oh, not only his life, and you're correct, but check this out. He is sitting up there in the heavens, wherever that is. Got it made. Right? He's as they say, chillaxing. He's working, but you could still relax while working, right? Having a good old time up there. But he had to give that up so that he could come down here and take care of his wife. The other thing that he gave up, Could you imagine what life was like for him growing up as a kid? Growing up in poverty. Now, he didn't grow up rich, people. He grew up in poverty. Right? Literally, what happened is that in that area where he grew up, they were so poor, they didn't have sewage. I mean, raw sewage was tossed out on the street. What happens when raw sewage is tossed on the street? Pardon? It smells, right? And what does that smell attract? Flies. And when flies are around, what do we have? Diseases. What happens when people catch these diseases and they don't have all this modern technology, this modern medicine? You die. So he was a man acquainted with grief. He knew what it's like to have little friends running around the place one day and the next day they are dead. Why? Because of the situation in which he was living in. He was, as they say, Poe. Right? He was Poe. Right? A carpenter. Not a whole lot of glory in that, but this is what he did. He gave up his glory for us. He paid the price in this relationship. And what he's asking for now, he's saying, okay, I paid my price. All I'm asking you to do, right, is to pay your price. No, he's not asking you to die. He's just asking you to deny yourself. Now, does it mean that every single thing that we have, we got to just give it up and go up onto some mountain somewhere and cross our legs and sit and pray all day? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that we have to deny ourselves. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking also, well, what are some of the ways that we can deny ourselves that'll fulfill what Christ is looking for? Because what Christ is looking for, he's looking for the heart, right? He never asks us to go and, you know, sacrifice our lives for anyone. He just says, you know, I want you. I want a living sacrifice. He never said, I want a dead sacrifice, right? Being a dead sacrifice means that you have to go and give your life, right? He never said that. He said, I want a living sacrifice. I want you living, right? So what are some of those things? Because I keep thinking. Now, ever so often, I think it's every 4 years or so, there's the International Conference in Orlando, right? Every 3 years, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. Every 3 years, we have the Grace Communion International. We have an international conference in Orlando. And while attending one of these conferences, I was privy to listen to someone tell a story, right? And here's how it went. It's a conversation that happened between one of the American pastors and one of the African pastors. And the American pastor asked the African pastor, he says, how do you all do it? How do you all maintain your beliefs? How do you all be Christians, basically, when you leave your house one day and you're not even sure if you're going to make it back home, right? When you live among poverty, where you live among all these diseases and mosquitoes and malaria, where if you come together with others, there's a likelihood that the authorities are going to come and put you in prison, and in some cases, they might even kill you. How could you maintain your belief system under such a situation? And then the African pastor looked at the American pastor and asked the question, well, how do you maintain your Christianity when you have so much wealth? Right? How do you maintain your Christianity when, you know, you have all of these grocery stores you can just go to and buy food? You have all these medical supplies that you can go to and you're healed. What place is there for God there? I mean, it's a valid question, right? So my question is, what is it about our lives that if we do, we can demonstrate a denial for the self and an acceptance of Christ? You see, we are called to deny the self, right? And that we must be willing to give up something for the relationship. Anyone ever been in a relationship? Nobody. Okay? Sometimes you got to give up some, right? I remember I was at Ambassador College, and for the sake of this relationship, I gave up a lot of sleep, okay? I told you all about the time when my wife saw me, and it was love at first sight, right? I had to give up a lot of sleep. That was the price I paid for the relationship. I didn't have any money, right? But I had to give up sleep. What are we giving up for the relationship with God? Now, in preparing this, something just clicked. It says, well, okay, go to the internet. So I went to the internet and I Googled. And I looked for, what are the biggest time wasters that we have, right? And I'm going to share it with you. We have some big time wasters. And let me preface it by saying this, that 100 people were surveyed. Right? It wasn't a survey of 100, it was actual studies that were done. What do you think was the biggest time waster listed? Wow. TV. Biggest time waster. It is estimated that on average, Americans spend 5 hours per day watching television. Right? Now, I'm going to assume that the average American works and the average American sleeps, right? So let's assume you live in Chicago, so that's 1 hour commute either way to work. That's 2 hours gone out of your day, right? 8 hour work day, and the boss might ask you to stay a little extra, but I'm not counting that. So we have 8 and 2, that's 10 hours right there. We are going to assume that you all are overworked and underslept, right? So let's say 7 hours sleep. So that's 17 hours. How many hours are left? Seven. So 5 of those hours you spend watching television, you got 2 hours left. How is that possible? But you all make it work, right? And the thing is this, I started to wonder, well, what is so interesting on television that we people got to be watching it, right? And I came up with a list, and tell me if you heard of any of these. Spartacus. Doesn't ring a bell. Okay. Going Bad. I'm guilty of this one, okay? Breaking Bad, same thing, right? I'm guilty of this one because I love that. Okay, don't follow my example. Madam Secretary, okay? Elementary, Dancing with the Stars. No, this is just in our one. Oh, I see some hands going up, right? You got that. Big Bang Theory, Two Broke Girls. Oh, hands going up here and there. Scorpion. Oh! Jane the Virgin. I don't see any hands go up for that one. Supergirl. Lucifer. A few hands going up here and there. Gotham. Real Housewives of, I don't know, you pick your city. All right? CSI, again, pick your city. Some hands going up. We have Las Vegas, New York, New Orleans. The Flash, I guess that's a new one. Oh! And people smile. The Flash. So if you like The Flash, you're going to love Arrow. All right? Empire. Oh! Empire. And there's one that I just saw advertised. I didn't know they did this one. It's probably coming soon, but I saw it advertised. Lethal Weapon. Yeah, that's coming also. Wow. Law and Order. And I'm going to excuse this one. It's called Chicago PD. I'll excuse that one. Y'all can have that one. Blind Spot. DC, Legends of Tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Supernatural, The Blacklist, Chicago MD, we'll excuse that one also because it has Chicago in the title, Rosewood, Soup, we know, you don't have to tell us, we know who looks at it, Superstore, right. Last Man Standing, Shark Tank. Blue Bloods. And here's one that's pretty interesting. Vampire Diaries. Oh, we see hands going up. Okay, y'all have no shame, right? Hell's Kitchen. Exorcist. Sorry, did I pronounce that incorrect? It's the accent. What is it? That. Right? Grim. Put your hand up. Okay. 5 hours per week. Now, my question is, what would our life be like if we were to take those 5 hours and dedicate it to God? I'm just daydreaming, okay? But also, that's not all for television. Remember, we got football, right? Sunday football. We got to remind me on Sundays, I got to make sure we got finished early, okay? Because what time does it start? 12. Stadium opens at 10 o'clock, right? So we got Sunday football, the 12 o'clock game, and then the 3:30 game, and then the later, that's 3 games, right? Pardon? Oh, yes. How many of you all got those sports channels, right? Monday night football, thankfully, there's only one game for now, right? Because there was a time there was no such thing as Thursday night football, but we managed to squeeze Thursday night in there, right? And don't forget, we got Saturday football, the college games all day, you know? And we've learned sometimes to give up Monday night, sometimes, right? I learned that. I used to look at Monday night football. Then my wife needed me to do certain things, and I'd say, eh, okay. I have to admit, I don't really look at much anymore. Because my team is Dolphins. And before they play, I know the results anyway, so why look, right? So we have football. So the question is, once we put all of these hours together, that's a lot of hours, right? What if we were to, I almost said go on strike, but that wouldn't rub too well with people. What if we were to dedicate that time to God? What would our life be like, right? So that's just one time waster. Any ideas as to what the second time waster is? Pardon? Internet. Y'all answer in unison like it's a choir or something, right? The internet. 27 hours of an average per week just surfing. That's a lot of time. And don't mention those games, right? You all know those games? Farmville. I mean, that's an old one, right? 27 hours a week, which equates to probably about 7 to 27. Who goes to school? You all have, right? So we're looking at close to another 4.5, maybe 5 hours a week just on the internet. That's a lot of time, right? Next one. Oh, let me just throw in there, just Facebook only, right? Only Facebook, right? Because people have to check their likes. And I don't know, I'm strange, right? Because I wonder, who cares? But you, 3 hours a day, just on Facebook. Checking responses to email, 6 hours. Because when you check your responses, what happens is you have to respond, right? And then they respond to your response. And then you have to respond to their response that they responded to your response with, right? 6 hours a day. Any other time wasters that you all can think of? How about shopping? Listen, I'm not asking you to touch your shopping. And there are people doing this, right? I'm not asking you to touch your shopping. I could appreciate that, because what happens is that I learned that it's sort of like some of you all are born with it in your DNA, right? And it's part of the transition, I understand, for females to teach other females how to shop, right? And the retail therapy thing that happens, right? So I'm not going to, that's really dear to your heart, but I first experienced this when I got married. My wife and I, we went to purchase a suit. The first store we went into, I had already decided, even going before going into that store, what that suit would be. I would have a navy blue suit. This is the price, okay? And this is the size. First store we went into, navy blue suit. That's the price. That's the size. Grab it, bag it, and we're off. First store, wow, this is incredible. I hunted, and it was successful. What did my wife say? You finished? Yeah, I'm finished. Well, we still have other stores to see. So, you know, being young in the marriage thing, older folks, excuse me, being young in the marriage thing, I'm trying to be the nice husband, okay? So we hung it up, and we started going to the other stores, shopping at all these different stores in the mall. And then, do you know where we ended up? Right back to the first store. Now, am I telling the truth? You see? Yeah, I'm telling the truth. How long did that shopping episode take? So my question, I'm speaking for the men now. My question is, was it really worth it? I mean, you spent 6 hours trying to find one suit, and okay, fine, you found one on sale and it saved you $5. It's $5 less. Was it really worth it? I don't know, I'm just asking questions, okay? So shopping takes a lot of time. I mentioned games, right? Some of the games, Farmville. How many of you played Candy Crush? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay. How much time do you spend playing Candy Crush? You see, you lose track of time. You don't even keep time anymore. Right? Candy Crush. Plants versus Zombies. Angry Birds. Oh, I see a few hands. Some of you all are ashamed to put your hands up, okay? I put my hand up. I played Angry Birds. Right? You played Angry Birds? Did you ever win? So we already know you're not going to win. So why bother, right? And here's one. This is going to sound strange. This was validated. I was teaching one time, and I asked the students, so why do you all come to class late? One student says, well, you know, we got to look good. Grooming. I did not know that it took some of, I'm going to be sexist right now, it took some of you females 2 hours to get ready, but you all like what you see, right? Right? 2 hours, does it really need to take 2 hours? Right? I'm just saying what the research shows, okay, how we spend our time. Exercise, right? I used to coach track. And I visited a few of these track teams, these high school track teams, because, you know, we got to recruit. That was back in the day when we went to the actual field and we looked at athletes. Now we just look at the figures on the internet, right? Go to some of these high schools and you see the coaching going on, you see the exercising going on, right? If they work out for 15 minutes, they probably sit around for an hour, right? And sometimes that's the way we exercise, right? I'm getting my workout in. We got all the equipment, right? If you need to exercise, which we all do, right? You can do it in 15 minutes, intense 15 minutes, boom, 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 and you're done. I'm just saying what the research is showing, right? Exercise. And here's one of those things that that takes up a lot of time also, and I know that there's no one in this building that does this, right? Having an affair. It's a time waster. Why you gotta maintain two relationships? Guys, don't do the player thing, okay? Right? Don't do the player thing, because what happens is that you're trying to live two different lives, and then you gotta spend time with this one, and time with this one, and time with this one. That's a lot of time. Why? So we spend quite a bit of time during our week doing things that use a lot of time, right? Now, did I say that you can't play your computer games? I didn't say that, right? Did I say that you shouldn't be watching television? Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that we use a lot of time doing these things. And if you were to think about it, if we take that time and spend that time with God, what would our lives be like? And here's what. I'm going to issue a challenge. Challenges. I mean, we love doing challenges, right? We have the 30 days, 30 minutes a day. How are you all doing with that, by the way? I don't hear any applause. Right? Okay, beautiful. I can guarantee you that if you're doing the 30-day, 30 minutes a day, there are things that you're recognizing about yourself, there are things you're recognizing about God, right? And there are changes that's happening in your life right now, right? I guarantee that. Now we're going to up the ante just a little bit, right? I'm going to issue a challenge. You all ready? Here's the challenge. 1 week. That's all. I see eyes opening big. 1 week. And here's what I want you to do for 1 week. Just take one of those areas that I mentioned, if they apply to you. Or if there's another one that you can think of, right, that applies to you, that you spend a lot of time with, I want you to, for 1 week, to give it up. Now, TV, I'm not making excuses for you, but that might be almost like going cold turkey, right? But the thing is this, are you prepared to just experience God for 1 week, right, in giving up that one thing that is so dear to you? But some people say, "But TV is not dear to me." You know, yes, it is. Okay, because the thing that you spend the most time with is what's important to you, right? That's the bottom line. If you spend a lot of time playing video game, then that's important to you. If we spend a lot of time working, watching television, playing the video games, and then we get to the bed that night, we kneel and we find that we are falling asleep, then maybe those other things we've done during the day is a little bit more important than God. Right? So my challenge to you is this. Pick one thing. One thing that you are willing to give up this week to demonstrate to God that you are willing to deny yourself because you are interested in this relationship. Because that's what it is about, a relationship. If you do not spend time with the relationship, you will lose the relationship. How many of you all in a relationship right now, and if it is that that person isn't willing to spend time with you, you're going to say, hasta la vista, baby. Right? We don't want that. What we want is we want a relationship with that person. We want that person to sit next to us, to talk with us. Right? So why don't you do it for God? Right? So I'm not here this morning to rant and rave and do all this type of thing. I'm just asking you, you know, spend a little time with God. And what I've done is I've sort of like identified one of those areas that you can use in order to spend time with God. One of those things that you can probably give up, I'm just asking for 1 week. That's all. And I guarantee you that if you give this 1 week and you replace that with God time, you will experience a change in your life that you can't even put into words. I guarantee that, right? And all of this is done just because it's important that we spend some extra time with Thee, right? You see, what happens here is that we are trying and we are trying and we are trying. And what we've been doing in the past is we've been trying to walk with God. But sometimes it takes someone from the outside to kind of like look and show you some areas of your life that you might need to, you know, tidy up just a little bit. Okay, I know that there might be some people who think that, okay, Kenneth, you're now moving from preaching to meddling. Okay? Yes, I am. So I'm meddling. We are looking for a closer walk with Thee, correct? Right? We recognize that we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We are weak, but God is strong, right? And because we are weak and God is strong, we recognize continually that we are in need of help from Him. But in order to do that, we have to have that relationship with God. And in order to have that relationship with God, we got to give something up, right? He gave His life, right? He gave His time. He continually gives His time. He continually gives His blessings to people who find that sometimes it's more important for me to watch television. Right? How important do you think it will be for God if it is that, I'm just throwing something out here, if it is that we gave up that Monday night game where the Bears are playing, and the Bears might actually win, right? Where the Bears are playing, and you know they have a good chance of winning, and you want to have that experience, but you say, you know what, God? Because I love you so much, I'm going to give this up just for you. And instead of watching that game, I'm going to be on my knees praying. I'm going to be doing a devotional. I'm going to be meditating on your word. I'm going to be reading the Bible. I want to get to know you. And I want to get to know you better. And all I'm asking is, God, that I want a closer walk with thee. Now, in times past, you go ahead and rock. In times past, I've started off singing, and I'm singing off key and all this type of stuff. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come on here, please. All right? And what we're going to do is, they're going to do this singing this time, right? I'll just follow along. And this particular song, as we sing it, I want you all to concentrate on what is it that this song means to me? What is my area of weakness that God needs to step in to make me strong? Because I can't do it on my own, right? And at the end of life, right, what is my life going to be looking like? So all we're asking is just a closer walk with thee. Amen? Amen.
Daily walk. it be, dear Lord, let it be.
To them, whoever wants to be my disciple must first deny themselves, take up thy cross, and follow me. It involves doing something, okay? And all I'm asking you to do, 1 week, give it to God. Amen? Amen. At this time, we're going to recite the church's mission statement. We live by a mission, and our mission is what drives us. Our mission is what helps us to stay focused. What is it that we are about? Okay? So if you would all stand, we can read the mission statement together. We strive to be spiritually sound, friendly, and maturing fellowship. Using our gifts and serve our neighbor, proclaim the gospel, and promote reconciliation. Amen. Amen. If you'd be seated, at this time we're going to go ahead and have the ushers collect today's offering. Now, as we give, please recognize that you're not giving to any organization of man. That this is an organization of God for one specific reason. We've been sent into this world to preach the gospel, to teach everyone about who God is, right? That's our mission. Christ also sent out his disciples and he says, go, baptize, right? Cast out demons, heal the sick. This is what we're about. And what's happening here now, it's you are now in the process of showing God through your offering how involved you are in this work. It's also a way of giving thanks and showing thanks to God for the blessings that you've given. And what he says also is give out of the abundance of your heart. Okay? Give as you're able. Amen?